If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The change of scenario for Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be a good one. I don't know how many coordinators he had in the time he was there, but I want to say it was at least two, it might have been three, Stoke. As you know, for a young quarterback, the best way to really, I think, screw a young quarterback up is to change coordinators on them every single year, and it drives me crazy.
That's why you want to go to a solid team like the New York Jets, the now New England Patriots. They seem to just be on a real good streak of keeping a lot of good offensive coaches. There you go.
You can go to the Chicago Bears where quarterbacks go to die.
Hey, listen, that's why Caleb Williams. That's the only reason why Caleb Commanders. Williams should be nervous. Yeah, name them all off. There's so many others.
The list of Brown starting quarterbacks is hilarious. Now, have you ever seen it?
That's crazy.
Since they came back, like the new expansion Browns. Like, after they took it away and brought it back, like they have had one. Like it's like a list of 30 guys, and they all suck.
I think 2013, one of my last years in Pittsburgh, they had 12 different quarterbacks that year.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Because they brought so many in through free agency and waivers, and like they just had a crap ton. So, yeah.
Well, even last year when they actually won games,
right?
They had to go get three, four
Flacco off the couch.
They had
in week
to get
seven.
Joe Flacco. Yeah. They went through three last year.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yes. I love watching chaos on other teams. Now, if you're an NFL fan, you don't love seeing chaos. And by the way, a franchise that has had great success with quarterbacks over the years. The Denver Broncos are trying to figure out what their future looks like. Andrew Mason joining us, covers the Broncos for Denver Sports, our sibling station across the mountains there, part of that Bonneville family. Andrew, thanks for being a part of the program today, man.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, so you wrote up a story, and we took great interest in it because it has all the drama. We laughed about the possibility of Zach Wilson maybe coming to the Denver Broncos and went, wow, if only. That'd be so hilarious. And then here we are now after he got traded to the Broncos. And Peyton Manning, you did a story about his reaction to Zach Wilson, and he heard some of that, obviously, on the way in of what he had talked about. But what was the takeaway from what Zach Wilson is coming into Denver per the view of Peyton Manning and his Hall of Fame eyes?
I mean, I think this is something that Peyton Manning does for, you know, Broncos quarterbacks who come in. I mean, he reached out to Russell Wilson. I mean, they would actually have some meetings together. He when they drafted Drew Locke in 2019, he reached out to him. So, you know, Peyton Manning's very much a part of the Broncos sphere to this day. Like, in that same interview, he was joking about how when his kids are having practice near the Broncos facility, he goes by the Broncos facility and just gets some snacks from the cafeteria. So being very much still part of the Broncos family, I think he kind of takes it as, part of his role to welcome that quarterback in and show some optimism for that player coming in.
We were talking on the show. We felt like Denver would be a perfect fit for Zach Wilson. The opposite of what he's had in New York is, not such a brutal media market, not so many expectations, a great quarterback coach instead of no quarterback coach. So it seems like the perfect fit for him. Based on from people you've talked to and what you've heard over there, why did the Broncos want Zach?
They wanted another veteran in there all along. Like that was kind of a key thing. You go back to the start of free agency, they were in on Sam Darnold, but the Vikings upped their ante on Sam Darnold, willing to give him $10 million on a one-year deal. And the Broncos being in a significant cap crunch after absorbing $85 million of dead money for Russell Wilson over the next 2 years, including 53 this year. Because of that, that was a bridge too far for them, and so Darnold went to Minnesota. They were in on conversations about acquiring Sam Howell from Washington. Howell, of course, eventually went to Seattle in a trade, and part of that was the Broncos not only limited in cash resources, but limited in draft capital. They don't have a second-round pick this year as a result of deals they've made, so they ultimately lost out on Sam Howell to Seattle. But they are specifically looking for a veteran quarterback who could have some possible upside. And so you look at Sam Darnold, former top five pick, that struggled with the Jets, seemed to get back on track in Carolina briefly, and then was a backup last year in San Francisco. And Sam Howell, recent draft pick, started last year, had some ups and downs in Washington. So that kind of fits the template of a type of quarterback that Sean Payton's had some success with. He turned around Kerry Collins back with the Giants when he was an assistant coach there, got Teddy Bridgewater back to being a starting quarterback, to where Teddy got a starting contract with Carolina in 2020 after backing up in New Orleans. Even got a good 7 games out of Jameis Winston after he left Tampa Bay before Winston tore his ACL. Those are all, you know, first-round picks that he got something out of. So he kind of likes that idea of taking a distressed asset that was once a coveted asset in the draft and seeing if he can get something out of that. The thing with Zach Wilson, though, is how much of his struggles were coaching and environment-related and how much of it was on him and maybe him being overdrafted, because he got drafted number 2 after that COVID year with nobody in the stands and no Power 5 at the time, on BYU's schedule. And I think that COVID year is part of what led to a very high miss rate on quarterbacks in that first round. 4 out of 5 have been traded 3 years later. And I think the fact that the COVID year with no fans in the stands, altered environment, I think it led to some bad evaluation. I think Zach Wilson, respectfully, should have probably been drafted a lot lower and would have been drafted a lot lower in a normal year.
I want to know then what the draft looks like for this Broncos team, because, look, it's one thing to bring in some guys, distress asset. That's a new title for somebody, by the way, that we've gotten. What was your role? I'm a distressed asset.
I like that.
That's my new role. So what does that first round look like then? Because Denver has been tied to a quarterback, you know, fill in the blank, if it's J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or even Michael Penix Jr., you've seen all sorts of names tied to that. So what are the thoughts? What are the real needs in that at that number 12 spot for the Broncos? And do they maybe even trade up to even get somebody else they love?
Well, quarterback is the number one need. I mean, even with Zach Wilson doesn't change that. And the price the Broncos paid for Zach Wilson, it's basically a lottery ticket at this point. If they can get something out of him, great, but that can't be your primary plan. Poor coaching only explains so much of being in the bottom 3 quarterbacks over the last 3 years in a lot of efficiency metrics. And that's where Zach Wilson has been since for the course of his career so far. So moving up, I think they're very intrigued by J.J. McCarthy. They met with him in person in Ann Arbor last month. Problem is, you have a team that is coming out of 2 years without a first-round pick after the Russell Wilson deal, and a roster that still has a lot of holes. It's pretty depleted. And as they're looking at roster construction, can they really afford the cost of moving up to take J.J. McCarthy, which could be as much as either trading 3 first-round picks or having a deal with 2 first-round picks and their best player, Pat Surtain. And that, I think, is going to end up being a bridge too far for them. There is some interest from teams in moving up to that number 12 spot, and that may make the most sense. If you gave the truth serum to people inside the Broncos and said, how do you want this night to work? I think they would probably say trade down, get a second round pick, and after the trade down, get Bo Nix at quarterback, who doesn't have all the arm talent of J.J. McCarthy, but in terms of being able to execute the rhythm and timing off aspects of Sean Payton's offense, he appears to be able to do that very well.
That leads right into my question I had for you. The fact that the Broncos don't have a second-round pick, at least right now, How does that frame what they're trying to do in this draft? We know how important second-round picks are.
I think it's very important. I mean, I think that second-round pick, the lack thereof, it hangs over this because with Bo Nix, it's possible that he may still be on the board at the end of the night. And if you had a second-round pick, then you could be more patient, or you could even say, okay, we got a second-round pick, and Bo Nix has slid to pick 31. Maybe let's trade back into round one and get him on the fifth-year option that you get with a first-round pick. So, unfortunately for the Broncos, that possibility is off the table, lacking a second-round pick. And it was interesting to see a lot of the mock drafts out there. A bunch of them had the Broncos taking Bo Nix, but with the caveat that if they had a second-round pick, I don't think they would be taking Bo Nix here, but they don't have that, so maybe you have to force it a bit. And so, because the right spot for Bo Nix in terms of risk, reward, and value may actually be somewhere between pick 20 and pick 40. In this draft.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Or you find a team that is that has a bunch of distressed assets, and you say, "Hey, we want you, kid. You're more of a second round guy, but we need you right now." So it's intriguing to think about it in that respect, right? I mean, like, it's actually wild. Sly, I know you've got a question. It looked like you had a question here going on.
I do. Do you believe this is going to be a QB heavy draft? I mean, we were talking about these teams possibly trading down. You know, the Vikings trading up, teams like the Patriots trading down and the Broncos trading down and possibly getting somebody in second round. But I see a lot of these teams still in the later part of that round that could use quarterbacks, right? You got the Raiders who still need quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got teams like the Cowboys who are trying to find, you know, possibly Dak Prescott's replacement here in a couple years. I don't know if Tampa Bay truly believes in Baker Mayfield to be a long-term play. So, I mean, if you trade down so much, some of these other teams could have the possibility, even the Cardinals have a second pick in the first round. Could they possibly jump up and take a Bo Nix if the Broncos are still thinking that, you know, Bo Nix will be there later on in draft?
It's possible. I mean, I know, for example, the Los Angeles Rams have done a lot of homework on Bo Nix at this point, and that's an interesting spot because Matthew Stafford had
a terrific
season last year. Yeah, I mean, after all the injuries he battled through in 2022, I mean, he's a guy who appears to be on borrowed time at this point. So it would be wise for them to plan for the future. And then also, if you're one of those teams, you're looking at next year's draft class, and inevitably there will be somebody who rises up on the strength of a big season, kind of like Joe Burrow did back in 2019. But right now you're probably looking at a top three of Shedeur Sanders from Colorado, Quinn Ewers from Texas, Carson Beck from Georgia. With Shedeur Sanders, there's talent there, but the dude hasn't played for a coach other than his dad. And I kind of worry about that he's been in these environments where he's had his father facilitating things perfectly, and that's not going to happen in the NFL.
It's Deion now. We can't say that. Deion speaks values. He could be in many places.
Yeah, but like he's still, I mean, if there were any other player other than the son of Deion Sanders, and you said he's only played for his father since high school, that would be a red flag on the evaluation.
Right.
Why wouldn't it be a red flag on the evaluation here? It's a concern I have.
Right.
It's a legit concern. There's no doubt about that. I would stay away. Let's get down to the real topic here, the thing we really want to talk about. I know the NFL draft's going on. The Zach Wilson trade's a big deal. What I really want to talk about is the new uniforms.
Oh, boy. See, now the real Bronco fandom starts to come out of JJ.
Okay. He sounded pissed when he even brought that up.
He's like, I got something I want to say right now.
I gotta get this off my chest. Jerseys.
Andrew, help us out. What are they thinking, and how has the fan reaction been to these new uniforms?
Well, the reaction has been mixed.
You're being kind, aren't you?
Well,
is anyone like, oh my gosh, those are awesome?
There are actually a few fans that have said they really like the uniforms. I think the thing is, the easy thing for them to do would have been, let's just go with the throwbacks and call it a day. And that would have been kind of the fan service thing, and people would have loved that. But I'll say this. I went back and looked when the Broncos changed uniforms the last time previously, back in 1997. And the reactions at the time, it was pre-social media, of course, so it was a lot of comments that were printed in newspapers and that sort of thing. The comments were almost universally harsh. So I compare that with the comments out there this week, and I even threw a poll out there and asked, okay, what grade would you give the Broncos' new uniform set, not counting the throwbacks? And among the 2,600-plus votes, 64.1% said A or B. Mm. So that's about the best you're going to get. If you get 64% saying it's an A or B grade on the on new uniforms, which, frankly, because human beings have trouble with change, we're sort of conditioned to not accept that. I think that's as good as you were going to get. It is an improvement. The uniforms they just ditched were awful. Like, the players look like ambulatory parentheses, yep, walking around with that big those big swooshes on the side. They actually look like a pro football team again.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know, I was surprised by that. I'm glad you shared that. That's interesting that it had that much of an approval rating from fans that you polled. I'm old school. I'm 46 years old. I love the old orange. The throwbacks they're going to wear this year are what I wish they would go back to.
I know, that's what everybody's waiting for.
It's like the Raiders. It's like all the best, like the Cowboys, the best brands and teams in sports don't have to change it because they got it right the first time. I love the throwback, the Orange Crush from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it's a beautiful uniform. And I wonder if a few years from now what the perspective is going to be, because something that we've seen recently, like look at the New York Jets, for example. They started working in the 1980s throwbacks, and here we are this year, and they're going to basically that look full-time with a few twists on it, like a black alternate uniform, green pants, which they did not have in the 1980s, that sort of thing. And I wonder if a few years from now, if they evaluate the market, they may say, okay, maybe it's time to go back to the old one. The thing is, I think there was a very strong desire to keep the current logo, which they've had since 1997. And there are a lot of reasons for that. They did a fan survey, and majority of the fans they surveyed said keep the logo. But the other thing is, you're sitting here, you're in a stadium, your lease is up in 2031. They're already starting to kind of lay the groundwork for plans to maybe build a new one. You got a lot of things that you'd have to replace if you got rid of that horse head logo, right? So,
well,
I see the logic there.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks too. I mean, when you win a when you finally get over the hump and win a couple Super Bowls with your Hall of Fame quarterback in those colors, then there is a little bit of like going back to the jerseys that, no offense, JJ, but they lost a lot in too. They had a lot of heartbreak.
Hey, at least they got there.
I know, it's true. All right. No, it's nice. The Navy makes them look like UTEP. That's what I'm going to call them, the UTEP of the NFL.
Well, somebody was joking. Yeah, they looked like UTSA, the Roadrunners.
The Roadrunners. Yeah.
That was the one I thought. You're right. That is exactly.
They almost
what
have
that
like a
like.
Charger bolt on the shoulder,
that
which is kind of nice for just a little nod to your conference or to your division mates. That's nice. It's nice.
It's like a one slash kind of thing. It's supposed to evoke some of the jagged landscapes around here, like the Flatirons, Red Rocks, that sort of thing. And so, like, from one angle, it does look like, if you see it from one angle, it's like, oh, it's a Charger thing. And then you see it from another angle, you see the whole sleeve pattern on the side, and it it doesn't look like a Charger thing, at least to me.
Andrew Mason covers the Broncos for Denver Sports. Last question here for you. I wanted to sneak this one in because now Sean Payton has the ability to be able to put his fingerprints on a team, and there's no longer going to be the I didn't pick these guys, you know, type of an attitude. He's going to be in the war room, of course. What is Sean Payton right now for this community, and what is it that he's going to try to accomplish going into this next season here? Is it just about forgetting the old Russell Wilson times that they had, or is it more just about, hey, fresh start begins now?
I think fresh start begins now. I think it's also continuing the process of culture building. And it's something of a long-term process. And I think you may be looking at this year in terms of the record having a step backward to make a leap forward, depending on – it may depend on tonight and if they do get a quarterback, how quickly they can get that quarterback up to speed. The one thing that, to their credit, they did last year, they improved their special teams. They also improved their offensive line. They won some games at the margins last year that they had been losing in previous years. So I think it's just continuing that process. Now, the interesting thing tonight, fellas, is who's going to carry the day philosophically. We talk about trading down. That's what George Payton prefers to do. He believes in the more darts strategy, accumulate darts, draft picks, and get more by trading down. Sean Payton's history in New Orleans was, if you love a player, go up and get him. So I think it'll be fascinating to see which philosophy ends up carrying the day tonight. It may end up being trade down by default simply because it takes too much to trade up. But if J.J. McCarthy drops to pick 7, then I think you may see the Broncos burning up the phones.
All right, Andrew Mason. You can read his byline there, denversports.com. And we love having you on, Andrew. Appreciate it. Good job on that story with Zach Wilson and Peyton Manning. And have fun with the draft tonight. Should be a really fun one.
Will do, and I've actually got another story up at denversports.com because Mark Schlereth came on y'all's air yesterday and suggested that he thinks Zach Wilson is going to be the number one, the week one starter for the Broncos this year. So you can check that out, denversports.com as well.
Oh, there you go. All right, we'll take the break here. There's Andrew Mason, denversports.com. We will come back. We've got more to go around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Stay right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.